Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of What's Going On? Oh, you've moved the thing in the way of the camera. That's it. Move it out of the way. Thank you very much.
I was like, what's that? What have I done?
Good evening, YouTube. Welcome to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And we've just had Sam. Have you stopped fanning about with it?
Sorry, I was like, now I can't see.
It's also going to pick me up a lot here and not you very much. You see, what you need to do is you need to get rid of that, put it about there. Thankfully, one of us is technical. Good evening, folks. Welcome to this episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. Sam, game week 11 is the bag, but game week 11 is in the bag. But take a very quick breath because game week 12 is going to be upon us as soon as Tuesday, right? Talk us through the next week and the fixtures and the deadlines and everything else, right?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Tuesday evening, another deadline. Saturday morning.
So no games tomorrow, Monday.
No, have
Tuesday,
a breath tomorrow.
Wednesday, there's games. Thursday?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
And then what? Friday deadline?
No.
Saturday deadline.
Yes.
Saturday deadline for
no
game
games
week
on Friday.
13. So no games on Monday, no games on Friday, but FPL every day apart from those 2 days.
Yes.
It's going to sort the men from the boys. What a week we've had in game week 11. Lots and lots going on. Not least what we've just watched, the Liverpool game against Manchester City. We're going to talk about that and how that influences our thinking ahead of blank game week 12, because that is first and foremost in everyone's thoughts right now, is blank game week 12. Unless you've been living under a rock for the last however many weeks, City and Arsenal don't play in game week 12. And actually, we said this, didn't we, last week, actually. It's a shame that they don't play, because that game right now would be a hell of a game, especially with Arsenal 4 points clear right now. Imagine if Arsenal were to go into that game and they won it, it'd be 7 points clear in the title race. It'd be an unbelievable game, wouldn't it? But nevertheless, not going to go ahead. So we've got to start planning ahead for what's to come in game week 12. So we're going to talk about that a bit later on. I, for one, have still got all of my three City quota. I've got an Arsenal player as well. And I'm also carrying a certain Mr. James Maddison, who has just pulled out the most FPL moment of the season so far, hasn't he not?
What was that about?
Well, like, three game weeks ago, he was on two bookings. So we all got him in on wildcards or otherwise, thinking he's never going to get booked 3 game weeks in a row. He's safe as houses for game week 12. 3 game weeks, 3 bookings. Not only that, Sam, but a 94th minute booking for diving this weekend. So,
well, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. This week is just like, shut up, James Maddison. You know, but seriously, though, right? So frustrating.
There's so many other things to think about.
I don't want to be thinking about James Maddison. If anything, I was just thinking you're going to be my vice captain this week. Like, away we go. I'm all right. Like, I was just reeling from Reece James. I've had to deal with him.
Yeah.
Now I've got you, James Maddison.
Yeah. I tell you what, I quite like it, though. It's sorting the week from the chat from an FPL perspective, because all of this Reece James injury, Maddison suspension, you know, the blank game week coming up, that's the engaged manager is going to get an advantage here. Am I right?
Well,
you would think so. The casual manager is going to stumble through all of this and come out the other side with net negative score versus the engaged manager.
I'm an engaged manager and they're doing my head in. Like, my whole team's falling apart. So, yes, I suppose you're right. But the reality is that it's luck, isn't it, at the moment? You don't own Reece James. Great. You've got away with one there. You don't own James Maddison. You've got away with one there. But you do own them, and you've got some Arsenal and City in there. Like, I've had a plan for weeks as to how I'm going to get to my 11 for game week 12.
Yeah.
Maddison and Reece James doing their best to throw spanners in the works, aren't they?
And Wilfried Zaha's found the perfect opportunity to dip out of form.
Just trolls
everyone. Which is perfect. He always does it, right? As soon as I bought him in my team and I saw him there on my first 11, I was like, you're not getting any points. I just, like, this always happens with him, doesn't it? Always happens. So we'll talk through the dross that is our bus teams for game week 12, as I'm sure most of you will be in a similar position. And I, for one, am struggling for a captain. I can tell you right now, my bus captain is on Kieran Trippier, of all people. I know that your bus captain is on Harry Kane. We'll talk about that a bit later on.
Yay!
But all of a sudden, after that Liverpool game, we might have a captaincy
option.
We might have a captaincy option.
This is the one thing I'm really looking forward to about game week 12.
What's that?
The captaincy. The fact that you can give it to whoever you want. You don't have to think. Like, you don't have to sit there and think, I've got to give it to Haaland, which is how I felt over the last few weeks. Like, I've actually got a choice and a captaincy decision to make. And that, I love it.
I think you'll find a lot of people are going to go to a certain Egyptian king, but more on that a bit later on. Super chat from the midfield master, Jack Colback. Cyberdet, how are you doing, mate? I am out of hospital on hardcore meds and waiting on my operation. Blimey, didn't Liverpool pull out a blinder? So Simon has been in hospital for a few days, isn't he? He was in this time, listening in this time we were on last week. So nice, great to hear you're out of hospital, Simon. That is brilliant news, mate. Brilliant news. And Liverpool pulled out a blinder, mate. They did. And what a game it was as well. Lots of incident to talk through. We'll talk about that a bit later on. Kyle Kirby is in. I used the free hit this week to change the team around for game week 12. So I don't know whether, Kyle, that means you used it in game week 11 or you are planning to use it in game week 12. But I think with the James Maddison suspension, does free hit now come into your thinking for game week 12? Or do you still want to hold it for future double game weeks? Is it on the radar now, free hit?
I don't think it is for me, simply because I'm wildcarding the week after. But I think if you've already wildcarded and you'd set up a team that then maybe has injuries to players, like maybe you had Reece James, maybe you've got rotation worries around other players in your team, maybe you've still got Patterson sitting on your bench, maybe you've got Arsenal and City players. Like, I think at that point, it is valuable to free hit. You know, maybe you do want to take a 1 week punt on Salah, but you don't really want to invest all that money for the longer term in him because we've not seen consistency yet. So maybe there is, I mean, I've been saying that for weeks that I think it's a good strategy because the free hit can be a poison chalice, can't it? It can be a game week where you end up free hitting out players that actually you want to, do well because it's a double game week and they don't have a double, which is kind of when we like to use the free hit. But
it's still not for me. I have to say, I'm not considering the free hit. It's crossed my mind, but no more than that, I would suggest. I think when I look at my team, and we'll see the bus teams a bit later on in terms of how we're set for game week 12, I think a lot of the players that I'd bring in my free hit I've probably got already. Yes, I could get 11 out on a free hit. I could have a squad on a free hit, but I don't know whether the fixtures are really that strong. You're missing the two strongest teams in the league, quite frankly, and that on a free hit doesn't feel quite right. So it wouldn't be for me, but it has crossed my mind. It has crossed my mind. So it's not completely out of the question, but I don't think I'm going to do it. Rithwick, thank you very much for the super chat. Very generous super chat. Thank you, Rithwick. How does Trossard sound for captaincy pick over Kane or Trippier for next week? So listen, this is the sort of narrative we're going to have this week coming into game week 12. We can't captain Haaland, so who are you going to captain? And Trossard now, off the back of a couple of blanks, after getting a couple of double-digit hauls, all of a sudden, maybe his potency has maybe reduced a little bit, a couple of not-quite-so-good results for Brighton. But of all of the teams that do play in game week 12, they have probably got the best fixture.
Forest,
because they're playing Nottingham Forest. So if you're going to bring in an attacker and you want him specifically for game week 12, then Brighton doesn't look a bad shout, Rithwick. I have to say, I, for one, am considering Trossard in as one of my transfers for game week 12. Whether I would go so far as captaining, I don't think so. I don't think so, but maybe.
If you didn't own Salah, didn't own Kane, I think that Trossard is the next best option.
Well, it's possible. Yeah, it's possible. Because
I mean, I personally think that Trossard is a better option than Salah. I'm sort of getting further
Trossard
away
from is
you.
A better option than Salah. Goodness me, not after
lean
today.
Out before you no, but even after today.
Okay, all right. We'll talk about the Liverpool game in just a second. Duncan Crawford is in. How are we doing, Duncan? Nice to see you. Sterling going for me next week for Foden. It sounds as if Duncan is already planning ahead for game week 13.
Which will come out quickly because it is only on
for
Saturday.
Sure. Foden looks. Listen, even today, a little bit unlucky with the goal. It probably is a foul. I'm probably biased. You guys can tell me whether I'm biased or not in the chat. It probably is a foul on Fabinho. But nevertheless, it still felt a little bit uncomfortable not owning Foden in that game. In a game where, frankly, we for large parts of it, we absolutely matched them, if not better. I still fancied Foden to get amongst the points. So come game week 13, I agree with you, Duncan. He'd be an in for me, no question. And I'll talk about how I'm going to transform KDB, who I currently have in my team, to Foden over the next couple of weeks. Clacko is in. Hi, Sam and Lee. He says, hey, Clacko, how are you? There's plenty of people in the chat saying happy birthday for yesterday, Sam.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Happy birthday. Hope you had a lovely day.
I did have a lovely day. We had a lovely day.
We did have a good day.
Capped off by Spurs winning and Kane scoring. Yes. And yeah, lovely.
Yes, very good indeed. John Tyner is in. He says, is Mount a good option? So listen, another 12-pointer for Mason Mount. Back-to-back 12-pointers now for Mason Mount. I have to say, I watched that game. We'll talk about it a bit later on. Don't get me wrong. He's got the two goals. He's in the right place at the right time. But God, didn't Villa make it easy for them today at Chelsea? I mean, they were actually pretty good, Aston Villa, in that game. Pretty good, but two big mistakes.
That's constant now. This is consistent form.
Well, since game week five.
Since international break.
Yeah.
He scored for England. Yeah. And ever since that moment, we've had consistency from Mason Mount. And isn't that what we actually want in FPL?
For that sort of money, a bit of consistency is good. Yeah, I noticed he was third, actually, overall for BPS this game week, behind Tony and Alisson. Third best was Mason Mount with his two goals on 47 BPS. So maybe you're right. Maybe a bit of consistency, finally, from the Chelsea midfield man. And could be a potential replacement for some of our City mids in game week 12. So yeah, watch this space. David Coates is in. How are we doing, David? Nice to see you, mate. Hope always going well with your Welland Garden City Youth FC. I think he's a Welland Garden City Youth coach, or at least certainly is interested in that team. So I hope you're well, David. Scott Schrager, the OD.
Who's the OD?
The OG. Sorry, Scott. The OG. I don't know what the OD is. He says Kepa came up huge. Now here's a name that I mentioned in the Ohana podcast for our patrons on Friday. And I think I gave it a little bit of a shout out this time last week. Kepa came in with a big
seven or eight points, didn't he?
We did, yeah. And actually, I've got to hand it to Harry. It really was his idea when he mentioned it on the podcast. And it really got me thinking, as an Everson owner stinking up my bench every week, I did think actually to maybe transfer Everson to Kepa would be a decent transfer. And having the Chelsea goalkeeper who looks pretty locked in now, don't you think? I think it's his shirt to lose right now.
Well, it certainly seems that way, and he's doing well at the moment. So let's just see what happens if he has one of those Kepa games, whether he then loses the shirt again.
Yeah. He's full of confidence at the minute, though. He had an absolutely cracking game, especially first half. Mm-hmm. It was a masterclass. There was one save from a Danny Ings header. I don't know even how he saved it. It was incredible. And actually, he is, and I think the Chelsea fans would agree, he's better with his feet than Mendy. Mm. And in the Potter system, that's what Potter likes. He likes a goalkeeper that's going to play out from the back. So I think it's Kepa's shirt to lose. And I like him. I would have bought him in this week were it not for the Reece James injury. Had to deal with that instead. And I bought Cucurella in, which I feel very aggrieved that he came off at half-time and missed out on the clean sheet points. But had I not had to sort out Reece James, I would have more proactively got Kepa in. I probably would have played him this week, which was a bit of a bummer, but there we go. Andreas Walgren is in. How are we doing, Andreas? FPL Seal is here. We've got Josh Cleave. We've got Mudar Garnham. We've got Rajesh. Hey, Rajesh, how are you? Torben Nielsen and a whole host of you guys in this evening. So, guys, welcome to the live stream. If you're new to FPL Family, hit that subscribe button. We'd love you to subscribe to the channel. And also, if you're enjoying the video, make sure you hit that like button. It helps us with all the algorithms and all that good stuff. Right, Sam, let's get into the games. And forgive me for being self-indulgent, but I do want to start with Liverpool 1, Manchester City 0, because all of a sudden...
This is a bit different, because over the last few weeks, you have not wanted to start with Liverpool. No, that's
absolutely true. Yeah, it's absolutely true. If anything, I've been actively avoiding talking about Liverpool at all. But Salah with the only goal, not in any of the bonus points notice, but a 1-0 win for Liverpool, which... I'll talk about my feelings about the game in a minute and how I think it might change things, but... How do you see it? Do you think that's going to galvanise Liverpool going into this next run of four? Because the next run of four for Liverpool, let's just remind ourselves by looking at the fixtures going forward, they look like this. So it's West Ham up next, as we know, in 12. Forest, Leeds, then it's a difficult trip to Spurs in 15, followed by Southampton at home. So between now and the World Cup, Liverpool have some pretty good fixtures outside of Tottenham in 15, don't you think?
Yeah, but we have been here before after you beat Bournemouth 9-0 and we all were kind of like, right... This is it. This will kickstart the Liverpool season. Yeah. They'll get hat-tricks every 5 minutes. But since then, it's kind of petered out again. And then I don't want to take anything away from the win today, because fantastic result for Liverpool today. But it is quite easy to get up for a big game, isn't it? Against Manchester City at home. You would have thought that Klopp and Liverpool and the fans in Anfield would be quite motivated today to do well. Now, whether they can continue that, I mean, they should be able to. If you can beat Manchester City, you should be able to go and beat West Ham. You should be able to beat Nottingham Forest. I do worry a little bit about the injuries. Another one today for Jota.
That was really sad to see him go off, I must admit, because he did not put in a shift. Yeah. He really did. And he looked as if he was going off on a stretcher, I think, maybe a knee injury. So... we've got to wait for diagnosis on that. But now we're struggling for left-sided midfielders, no doubt.
And then what happens up top? Because you know, Salah, yes, he got the goal today, but we've said before we don't like him so much when Nunez is on the pitch. What if Jota's not fit and Diaz is out? And therefore you're playing Carvalho and probably Firmino and Nunez. Does that mean that Salah is a little bit more out wide again? Therefore, does that restrict our love of him in FPL? Like, there's a lot of, for me, there's a lot of unanswered questions still around Liverpool. Okay. And you know, I hope that this is the beginning of better things for Liverpool, nonetheless, because it will put a smile back on your face, my darling. But I do like being able to own Liverpool players in FPL. I like being able to have, you know, players from a team that are consistently performing, which is normally what we see from Liverpool.
Mm.
We haven't seen that yet. So let's see now whether they can get back up again, take this win, and it's a big win to take the first win of the season against Manchester City, and lead it into into game week 12 in the game against West Ham, because West Ham weren't great today. So if you can kind of build on the form that you showed against Manchester City, then yes, maybe. But I don't know. I still feel reluctant to overly invest in Liverpool because I kind of feel like we've been bitten a couple of times by Liverpool already, and players getting back on them again, expecting good stuff, only for it then not to happen. But, the, you know, if we go in all competitions, this is a couple of good results now after Rangers in midweek last week.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really glad that you're sceptical like that, because that means you're not going to invest in Liverpool. I think that was such a turning point game for us today. This atmosphere inside the stadium was unreal. We haven't had atmosphere like that for a long, long time. The fact that Salah gets the winner, the tweak that Klopp has made tactically over the last few games in all competitions to move Salah from wide a bit closer to the goal. I mean, I don't know how it's taken him that long to figure out you put your most potent weapon nearer the opposition goal and he starts scoring goals. But notice that he's playing a little bit more centrally now.
Will he stay there with
Yes, I think so. I think so, because Klopp has realised that that's where he goes. And actually, it was Harvey Elliott that was kind of drifting out wide right. And actually, he was pretty effective in that position as well. And actually, Salah was kind of joining Firmino up top today.
Yeah.
I hear you on the injuries, though, because now we are a bit short on left wingers for sure, because Luis Diaz is out until after the World Cup. We've got to understand what the diagnosis is on Jota.
Yeah.
If you want a cheeky punt for game week 12, and I know you're playing your wild card in game week 13,
yeah,
I would have Carvalho, you know. I can see that Carvalho will start. He's going to start that game against West Ham, I think. But anyway, more on, you know, we'll talk about him a bit later on.
Will Klopp's red card affect Liverpool in game week 12?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I for sure was happy to see that passion from Klopp. But make no bones about it, what changed for Liverpool today was how better we were defensively. And I hear you, actually. It's frustrating as a Liverpool fan to sit here and go, well, where the bloody hell has those performances been all season?
Right?
Because we've been so lethargic, so sloppy, so, you know, statuesque at the back. Certainly, you know, Gomez and Trent, for example.
Lots of mistakes. There's been a lot of mistakes.
And I, for one, and Klopp said it up in the post-match interview after the game today. He said, pretty sure a lot of people looked at the lineups and saw Milner against Foden at the beginning and went, that's going to be difficult for Milner. And I was one of them. I said it. As soon as I saw the lineups, I said to you, oh my God, Gomez and Milner against Foden and Haaland, that's going to be difficult. That's probably the best game Gomez has had in a Liverpool shirt for a number of years.
Because actually, it wasn't the strongest back line for Liverpool today. Yeah. By any stretch, because obviously you were without Trent for most of the game. And I know, don't come at me with Trent's been poor.
Yeah.
On a weekly basis, Trent is still first choice in that Liverpool defence. So, all right, Robertson was back today. Was it that made a difference on that side? What was it that was different today?
I think Robbo being back made a massive difference. You saw how in the Arsenal game, the first goal, which, by the way, Saka was offside for, but the VAR wasn't connected at the time. Did you see that in the press? What a joke. But when Simikas gets pulled out of position all the time. I know you like him. I like him as well on YouTube. He's a proper character. But he is a crap left back, unfortunately.
But he is a legend.
He's an average at best player. And he gets pulled out of position very, very easily.
Yeah.
And what happens is the likes of Van Dijk, you know, certainly Van Dijk on that side has to kind of come over and cover for his mistakes because he goes wandering.
Mm.
Now, with Robbo today, unbelievable. His first game back for I don't know how many weeks. And he's just as if he's just waltzed back into that team and immediately got to grips with it. But you can't underestimate the shift that Milner put in. You can't underestimate how good Gomez was.
Milner do that again?
Well, here's the rub, and here's why I would maybe just think twice about investing in lots of Liverpool assets ahead of this nice run that we've got. And by the way, we'll talk about my transfers later, but I'll be getting Salah, putting out there now, and I'll be captaining Salah for next week, because I just think the momentum and the feeling from that game, if there's one team that plays on feeling and emotion and momentum and rhythm, it's Liverpool, it's Klopp, and Salah's looked a lot better recently. But I wouldn't go heavily investing because Milner played 90 minutes. And did you see him collapse at the end of the game? He was physically knackered. He was just exhausted, right? Joe Gomez had a very good game. Probably going to start again at centre-half. So for those of you wondering whether you should invest in Trent, I think Trent is going to start against West Ham. I think Trent is going to start.
Well, because Milner can't.
Milner can't do that again, right? There's a chance that Milner plays 45, 50 minutes and then Trent comes on. Maybe. But I think you're asking for an injury from Milner there if you do that. I think depends. I was actually surprised to see Trent back that quickly.
Yeah, I was too.
But and even if he does play, does he play the full 90 minutes or does Milner get maybe the last 30? I don't know. I expect them they'll share minutes in game week 12. But I think Trent has got a really good chance of starting. Would you have him over Robbo right now? I don't know. Don't think you would. Now that Robbo's back, I think you'd go for Robbo.
Would you have either, really?
Yeah, ahead of this run, yeah.
Against West Ham?
Possibly. Yeah, possibly. It is time to start looking at Liverpool again, I think, with this run that we've got until the World Cup. It's only that Spurs game which is looking like a difficult game. The rest are entirely winnable. And it's Forest after West Ham, right?
Entirely winnable, yes. But West Ham, I think, can score against your defence.
Okay.
I think a lot can... You know, there's a lot that could be said today about how good Liverpool played in many parts. But I also do think that it was the fixture. It's that home fixture in front of the crowd at Anfield against Manchester City. There's that element of, you know, you've said multiple times we're already out of the title race, but there's a pride thing from Liverpool and from Anfield that just won't allow themselves to kind of be beaten by teams like Liverpool, by teams like Man City. You get up and you find a way, don't you? At West Ham, on a cold Wednesday evening, on the back of two good results, I don't think you're going to collapse. Look, but I'm not here sitting here saying I think West Ham are going to win. I don't.
Yeah.
But I do think West Ham can score past that defence because that defence has just put in a real shift.
Yeah.
And the player's coming back from injury.
The other player to consider is Roberto Firmino, who's been outstanding for us, by the way, in recent weeks.
Best player.
Played 70, 75 minutes tonight, I think, before Nunez come on. Mm. And by the way, I really, really want to get behind this guy, Nunez. I'm really struggling, guys, to be honest with you. When he doesn't pass to Salah there for Salah's second goal in the dying embers of the game to secure the game, and he takes the shot on instead, he is bloody lucky that we won that game 1-0, because there'll be a couple of memes on Twitter and that'd be the end of it. If we'd have drawn that game 1-1 or worse, lost it, he'd be absolutely crucified. How he's not passing that ball is beyond me. It is beyond me. But nevertheless, he's probably going to start against West Ham. I'd fancy Nunez to start. Would I fancy Bobby Firmino to start? I don't know. Probably, yeah. Probably. Klopp's going to ask a lot of him, I think. I think it will be Carvalho with Nunez up front, Firmino behind, and probably Salah right. Well, not probably. It will be Salah right. And it'll probably be the same three again in midfield. Maybe Henderson over one of the holding sixes. But let's see. Let's see. For sure. And maybe I've got my red goggles on, guys. You tell me in the comments below. Do you agree with Sam or do you agree with me? What do you think? Are Liverpool now reinvestable going into this run of games? I certainly think they are.
I think they're beginning to look it, but it's West Ham next. And I don't know. I mean, Salah, if you want a captain because you haven't got one and you've got an easy route to him, then fine. But I don't think that there's enough Liverpool players to really go... Like, I wouldn't go in back in on the defence just because they've kept one clean sheet against Manchester City. This is the first really good defensive performance that we've seen from Liverpool this season, I would argue.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's talk about Manchester City then before we move on. Look, I'm not panicking on them, but obviously you're not bringing any in ahead of game week 12. But have you got a Man City player strategy coming into your game week 13 wild card? Are you going to stick with the three? And if you are, which three are you going for?
Yeah, I am going to stick with three, but they'll be different.
Okay.
So up until about 2 weeks ago, it was very much going to be all in on the attack. And it was going to be Haaland, obviously, and Foden with Grealish. But the problem I've got now is that Grealish
you were going to go for. Interesting.
Well, okay. Yeah, I was, because I like the idea of that kind of middling price midfield. because it allows me to have Haaland and Kane up top, and it would allow me to go back in on some heavy hitting defenders if I so chose.
Yes.
However, with Grealish's minutes being kind of limited in recent weeks, alongside other players that we're starting to see a little bit more rotation from Pep around, I think if you want to go for the three attackers, you've really got to go for KDB and Foden and Haaland.
Why do you think Grealish didn't get the nod today at Anfield? Because he's been in good form, right?
Yeah, but he didn't get it last week either, did he? He didn't start in the game last week. So I don't know whether there's a strategy at play there from Pep or what. But for me now, I'm looking at it thinking, well, I think I'm going to keep Cancelo and I'm going to change out my Edison because, you know, I was looking at the goalkeeper situation over game weeks 13 through 16 and there are some nice cheap goalkeeper options that you can go to that aren't Edison. It'll free up that spot. So then
what
I'll have...
What a save from Edison, by the way, yeah, from Salah today. Oh,
and
unbelievable
the thing is,
save.
Right, I think that there are... Were it not for a mistake from Cancelo... that allowed Salah in to score that goal, that game finishes 0-0 and I've got loads of points out of the double defence. But that's happening a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that goes on with Manchester City in the defence right now. Now, I think after Edison's performance last week in his 18-point haul, I want him moving
Edison
forward.
Edison got 18 points, did he?
Last week.
Did he?
Yeah.
How many points? 18? No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
Edison?
Cancelo.
Oh, Cancelo. Right, okay, yeah. I was going to say... But he was a goalkeeper getting 18
no,
points.
No, Cancelo. Did I say Edison? Oh,
you did, yeah. That's all right.
I was talking about Cancelo.
They all knew what you meant.
Yeah, so Edison... I think I was saying I'm going to keep Cancelo. I'm going to move Edison on, but I'll bench him for this week and do it on wildcard because I've got Ward on my bench, so he can just come in for game week 12. So that's fine. And then I'll have a three from City going into game week 13. So, yeah, that's my plan.
Okay.
Because I think it's difficult, isn't it? Because a lot of people are going to be looking at this Man City team right now thinking, all right, they didn't win today. Not from want of trying. There could have been goals in this game. There were a couple of great saves.
Listen, this is the best we've played all season by a long shot. It doesn't mean that City are somehow going to go on a bad run now. They are still the best team in the league by a absolute country mile. And so is Haaland still the best player in the league by a country mile. I agree with what Si Bennett is saying. Edison is a definite sell, especially with Kepa being so much value.
Don't want Kepa.
You don't want Kepa?
No.
Okay, that's interesting. We'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, my City strategy, and I touched on it before a second ago, is benching Cancelo and Haaland. I'm going to bench those guys. No, they're just, well, ride the bench throughout 12 into 13. But I do want, as Si is also saying, Kevin De Bruyne has been a bit of a hot and cold own, and I agree with that. Listen, he can easily pull out a 10 or 11 pointer, but equally can get a 2 or 3, whereas Foden looks to be carrying much more of a goal threat. So I'm going to use blank game week 12 as an opportunity to switch them. And I'll be going from Kevin De Bruyne probably to Salah. We'll talk about my transfers later on. But Kevin De Bruyne out for game week 12 and then Foden in for 13 is currently what I'm thinking.
So you'll only keep Salah for 1 week or take somebody else
out? No, somebody else will probably come out. I'm going to take Salah out ahead of Forrest. No way. Absolutely
not. Well, that's what I was going
to say.
If you're going to bring Salah in, you're surely bringing him in for the long term.
Yes. So no more talk about City because no one's going to bring them in this week. But it's just interesting. I'd love to know in the comments below what you guys are doing with your City players going into the blank and then coming out into 13. Because if we have a look at the FPL fixtures from 12, City are towards the bottom. So it's the blank and then it's Brighton, Leicester, Fulham, Brentford.
But they're only there because of the blank.
Yes, because then if you look between 13 and 16, and I'm pretty sure I've put 17 on there for some reason, but between 13 and 16, and why 16? Because that's the point at which we stop for the World Cup in Qatar.
17th boxing day.
Game week 17 is actually after Christmas, isn't it? Which is crazy to think that. But City, those four fixtures, Brighton, Leicester, Fulham and Brentford, those are fixtures where you are going to want free City.
And that's 100%. Why I think you just have to be mindful of having there will be a lot of players this week. You know, there are a lot of players going all in on Foden this week. I think he was the most transferred in player pretty much going into game week 11. And at the time I was like, I don't really understand this because it's Liverpool and then a blank.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of those managers now are going to be looking at their teams thinking, well, I've got Haaland and I've got Foden and I've probably got an Arsenal player in there as well.
This goes back to what I said before. This is where the engaged manager is going to get an advantage over the casual manager.
But it's not just an engaged manager, is it? You don't have that many million transfers in for Foden this week and tell me that they're all just casuals. They're not.
Not engaged managers that are bringing Foden in ahead of a blank.
Well, it is. If maybe it's managers that are planning to free hit through the blank. Okay. I don't know. But if whatever your strategy is for the blank, just do look at 13 onwards, because if you sell all your City players this week, you then need to have a plan to bring them all back in again, or at least bring different ones back in again afterwards.
Okay. If you had 3 City, 3 Arsenal and Madison...
Well, like Max.
Would you free hit?
It's definitely a conversation.
I think I probably would, you know.
The question I have, though, I would. For somebody... So, our son, Max, he's got that. And he's got Patterson as well. So he's got all sorts of dramas going on in his team.
That's a free hit.
Probably, but then he's wildcarding straight after. So it feels a bit weird to free hit and then wildcard straight after.
You're not going to wildcard with 3 City and 3 Arsenal on your team in Madison.
Well, when's he going to wildcard then?
Like, you wouldn't. If you're going to free hit and then all those good players come back in for those nice runs for Arsenal and City, you're not wildcarding that, are you?
Well, but, I guess not. But then I don't know when I'm going to...
You don't use it. You don't use it unless you have to use it.
Well, it's going to die in game week 12. In game week 16.
Listen, if you've got 3 City and 3 Arsenal going into 13, you don't need a wild card. Let's talk about some other games. Let's go back all the way to Friday and talk about a player that I think is the most transferred in, or certainly was on Fantasy Football Fix, was flying up at the fastest rate when I last checked it, and. For sure, my game week peaked on Friday afternoon or Friday evening when Ivan Toney got those 2 goals. What is this saying about Brighton? Let's start with them, though, because here they are on the back of a bit of a humbling defeat at Brentford. De Zerbi ball, you know, getting a little bit of a baptism of fire here. Yet, they go into game week 12 as, you know, hot favourites for transfers in, because I think the fixture is Nottingham Forest at home, if I'm not mistaken. Let's just have a quick look. Let's see. Brighton, Forest at home, yes. And then Man City, Chelsea, Wolves away. So how do you feel about Brighton now? Are they investable? Is Trossard and the likes investable ahead of 12, given that coming out into 13, it's City?
Well, I think Trossard, for me, is almost perfect, isn't he? As somebody that's wildcarding out of 12.
Yeah.
Like, he's almost...
Oh, if you're going to wildcard in 13...
He's almost perfect, because he can come in for Madison and go straight back out again the following week. So for me, he's almost the perfect... pick. I mean, I think it depends on what you're doing, doesn't it? Because I actually don't see any reason, I don't see any problem with bringing in Trossard for 1 week and then taking him back out again the week after. Like, if you, for example, got, I don't know, maybe you're de-invest totally in Arsenal at the moment, a bit like you. I mean, you've got Martinelli, so it's slightly different, but for some managers, you'd be totally de-invested in Arsenal right now because of the blank. Maybe you're at a point where you bring in Trossard for Madison this week and then you take him out again next week and bring in Saka or bring in Martinelli.
What did you make of the Brighton performance here, though? Because Brentford did a bit of a job on them, I thought. I didn't think they were that clinical in the final third. Some misplaced passes and... did they look better when Undav come on? Not massively better. I mean, Brentford were easily the better side here. I mean, under the lights on a Friday night, I mean, it's a good opportunity for Brentford to put on a bit of a show, particularly it's on TV. But Brighton, they just looked a little bit slacking a bit in the final third.
Maybe. I didn't think Brighton looked that bad.
Okay.
Maybe we watched a different game. I thought Brentford were a little bit lucky. I didn't think that... I think that scoreline flatters them a little bit. I didn't think they were great. I don't know. Look, Brighton are never as good away from home as they are at home in terms of defences anyway. They always seem to let in a goal or two on the road. That maybe is going to be intensified with the new manager and the way that he plays. But look, you know, I think you have to look at the fixture. Nottingham Forest are woeful right now.
Yeah.
They are the worst team in the league by a long way at the moment. And therefore, you would expect their players like Trossard to be able to return against them.
Okay. All right. A couple of things I noticed in the Fantasy Football Scout members area. And if you're not yet a member of the Fantasy Football Scout website, you can go and join up in the link in the description below. The top 2 players for touches in the opponent's half this week, Brighton's Moses Caicedo and Brighton's McAllister. So both of those guys top for touches in the opponent's half. So what does that tell you? That tells you that Brighton had plenty of the ball in those sorts of areas, but just weren't clinical enough in the final third, because didn't really create a lot of chances. There wasn't very many...
And Breyer did play really well.
Raya did play well. Yes, that is true. Yeah, he did play well. And interestingly, Welbeck is in the top 10 for XG underachievers. So of all the players, he maybe could have, would have, should have deserved something. But all in all, I thought Brentford were pretty good for their win. And Ivan Toney is... Well, he's taking his game up another level this season. I'm very happy to have him in my team. And I'm pretty sure that he's going to be a popular transfer in this game week. He's got 55 BPS this game week, so he is top amongst all players for game week 11's BPS. So Ivan Toney, very much star of the show. Rajesh, thank you for the super chat. He says, happy birthday, Sam. We all love you.
Oh, Rajesh,
there we
thank
go. Thank you.
You,
Rajesh. Very kind of you. Where else do you want to go, Sam? Let's talk about
Spurs.
Go on then. Let's talk about Spurs and Everton. Go on then. Let's do that.
Matt Doherty. Let's start with Matt Doherty.
Yes, go on then. Let's do
talk
that.
About the rebirth of Matthew, as Conte has now decided that he will call him. Have you noticed this? Doesn't call him Matt anymore, just calls him Matthew.
Matthew.
All the time. Right. Every time he speaks about Doherty, he calls him Matthew. I thought it was really interesting, and I wonder whether there's some Conte reverse psychology going on a little bit with Conte, with him and Doherty. Because
he did, that was the biggest and best hug I've ever seen a manager, and this is coming from someone that watches Klopp hug his players a lot. The Conte and Doherty hug was immense.
I mean, he
coming off.
He also nearly killed Harry Kane. He wouldn't let him go. Kane had to basically push the manager off of him. I thought
Conte loves a hug, doesn't he?
He does. He can give me one if he likes when I see him at the stadium next. No, not in that way. Just, I love him. He's, I mean, this is the best start to 10 games to a season Spurs have
looking
ever
good.
Had.
Yeah, looking very good.
Quietly going about our business, where all the talk is on Haaland and how good Arsenal have started. Quietly Spurs
you're
taking
right,
under.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm really pleased about that. But I think Doherty's really interesting. Conte a couple of weeks ago, no, he's not ready. Then he gives him the start. I thought he was excellent against Brighton, as I mentioned before. I thought, obviously, then he didn't play in the Champions League one where Royale played and we were lacking in that game without
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
He comes back in for this game against Everton and he did a brilliant job, both defensively and going forward. Really, really good stuff from Doherty. And he, obviously, with Royale still suspended in game week 12, he's guaranteed the start. I cannot believe that he doesn't start in game week 12.
I think he probably will after that performance, yeah.
I think the only other option that he has is to play Sessegnon and then put Perisic on the other side. But given Perisic played at the weekend, I don't see that he'll necessarily get that happen. I didn't think Perisic is as successful either on the
quite
other side of the pitch. Yeah, I know, it was really hard, wasn't it?
Perisic actually shows up in quite a lot of the stats on the members area dashboard on Scout actually this week. So chances created, joint first, Perisic with 4. I noticed him along here somewhere as well. Yeah, third for crossing. So Foden, Adama Traore, and then Perisic, third with 8. And I wonder whether I saw him one more time down here. No, I didn't. It was those. So it was crossing, and it was chances created. It was that chances created piece that really caught my eye. Are we still buying into this Perisic and Son narrative?
Yeah.
Can't play together? Is this still a thing?
Well, what did you see from Son today? Yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you see from Son last week against Brighton? What did you see from Son in the Champions League? What did you see from Son today? Absolutely nothing. So for me, the whole thing goes back around again. I don't think that Perisic is good for Son, and I don't think that Perisic is good for Spurs' attacking play. And I don't mean that in a negative way, because I really do like him as a player. I think he's quality. I think we were kind of getting a bit nowhere until the Richarlison injury,
yeah,
which is a shame for Richarlison, because actually I really enjoy him being in a Spurs shirt. I like
it. It'd be interesting to see how that dynamic plays out now, right?
Well, it looks like he's not going to be available for midweek.
No.
Against...
Or Kulusevski, who's had a bit of a setback by the sounds of it.
Kulusevski's unlikely to be available as well, which probably means going back to Spurs and Kane up top alone. And if we're playing Kane and Son up top alone, expect to see Sessegnon instead of Perisic would be my feeling, because that plays in better to those two and the positions that they're going to take down those wings. So I'm expecting Doherty and Sessegnon. If I wanted a 1 week defensive punt, I'd go with Doherty this week. I think that, you know, Spurs have got a nice, well, it's not the greatest fixture in the world. It's against United. It's a tough game. However, I would expect the wing backs to be doing a good job if we're going to get attacking returns, because I suspect we'll be back to 2 up top against United.
Yeah, and here's a comment I was just about to make, but Ginesh has beat it to me in the chat. Yves Bissouma absolutely changed your game. They did. Bentancur and Højbjerg are good enough in there, no doubt about it. But Bissouma, if we can get him fit and firing and showing signs of the Bissouma that we saw at Brighton week in, week out, you have got a hell of a player on your hands there.
I thought he made a real difference. But I think part of the difference he makes is it changes the Spurs system, and we go back to the system we're comfortable in from last season. So
with Son off the cane.
He's great, And he played, and I don't mean to take anything away from Bissouma in the way that he played. He was fantastic. But what he does just by being on the pitch is changes the system to something that we know and we really trust and therefore works really well.
Okay.
I think, you know, Kane continues to be Kane. That's the first time he's ever scored in 5 back-to-back games. Not
ticking over, isn't it? I keep using this phrase for him, ticking over. But every time he ticks over a goal and a couple of bonus points, it hurts my rank quite significantly.
This week.
It's tough to take.
And I think, you know, for me, he is definitely up there with the captaincy band choices for this week based on the form and his record against Manchester United.
Yeah, he's definitely up there. We'll talk about captaincy a bit later on. Something we're very used to here at FPL Family is technical difficulties. Leeds 0, Arsenal 1. They had plenty of those there.
What was all that about?
But it was to Arsenal's benefit in the end because there was a bit of shenanigans at the end of that game, which we didn't watch because this game criminally was not on Sky this weekend here in the UK.
Good job it wasn't. What would we have done for 37 minutes?
Well, quite. I mean, for those of you that missed it, the game got stopped for about 35, 40 minutes in the beginning, right at the beginning. They played 2 minutes and then they literally just stopped and suspended the game because the goal line technology wasn't working because they had a power cut.
Well, nor was VAR.
VAR was not working, all that
works.
Sort of stuff, right? So in the end, Arsenal eked out, and I think it was eked out a result in the end, but that's what...
game hurt. This is the game that really hurt my rank.
Hurt your rank?
Because
why is that? The Saka goal, the Arsenal clean sheet?
Bamford missing that. Bamford scores the penalty, and we don't have massive hauls for Gabriel, for Ramsdale.
Who almost got sent off, by the way, didn't he, Gabriel, at the end? It was only VAR, the fact that they turned that on after the power cut, that... did it reverse the Gabriel red card and then turned the potential Leeds penalty into an Arsenal free kick?
Who knows?
We've got to wait to see that one on Match Today.
This killed me this game because, you know, I had Martinelli, I had Jesus, both blanked.
What were we saying about Saka from game week 13?
Well, I think I put him in the must category. On my wild card, he's in the must.
No doubt about it.
I mean, he's the one. I think I'll probably keep Jesus and Martinelli, but Saka is going to join my ranks for sure when I wildcard for game week 13.
Oh, I have to agree with you. Leeds, missing the penalty. Could have got something from that game.
All of a sudden, these 8 million midfielders, though. I want all of them.
Yeah, totally. And the Arsenal fixtures, let's have a look at my graphic again when they come out of the blank. Southampton, Forest at home in 14, goodness me. Chelsea away, Wolves away, and then obviously West Ham on Boxing Day. For some reason, I put that in there. But those four...
Lovely, Boxing Day.
I don't know why I've done that. Look, I could maybe do this live in play. Look, and just
Get rid of Boxing Day.
Get rid of that.
Yeah, but
there
it won't be right now.
Now we're a bit more focused. Why would that not be right?
Because they'll move. Because the fixtures...
Don't worry about that, Sam. It's a minor technical difficulty. But the Arsenal fixtures, certainly those
Leeds.
Four, look so good, don't they? Particularly that game week 14. Goodness me. And Haaland is away at Leicester. Yet Arsenal at home to Forest. So we're going to be having a captaincy conversation in that week, I would suggest. Where else do you want to go, Sam? Loads to talk about, but I don't know if we've got time to do it. Oh, we maybe need to talk about the fact...
Can we just have one quick word on Bournemouth, just quickly?
Actually, we can. Yes, we can. Go on. Fulham 2, Bournemouth 2.
Because I think, you know...
They have found a bit of form, Bournemouth.
But we have sort of been quietly talking about this. Since the new manager arrived, the underline... I said this on the official pod. I don't know if I said it on here, but... Since the new manager came in, they've been so much better.
Yeah.
At home particularly, they've been really solid defensively.
What's now, he done that's improved them?
Just
think?
Not slagging his players off. Genuinely, I think there's that.
What tactically, though? Because I noticed that he's put Billin further forward. And Billin is much more of a presence now in and around Solanke.
But I just think...
So is Lerma.
Look, I think these players that came up with Bournemouth, they're not bad players, right? They came up from the Championship. They're reasonable. And when we were looking at them in pre-season, we weren't expecting them to be quite as bad as they have been.
Mm.
But Scott Parker in the comments, and clearly what was going on there was a lot more negative than we were getting out in the out from the press as well. What we've seen now is the new manager's coming. You know, you do get a bit of new manager bounce, but he's instilled back some confidence in them. They seem to be playing with a little bit more confidence in themselves, and they don't seem to be playing like a team of kind of like... that are worried about, you know, their form or that are anxious or anything like that. They're kind of going out there and they know their jobs now.
How are we feeling about Dominic Solanke? Then a goal and assist and 3 bonus points. And I have to say, I think he's on penalties for Bournemouth. And if he is, they could have had a couple in that game. There was a Tim Ream handball, which was not spotted by the referee.
Your favourite.
Or by VAR. And there was another one, I can't remember the player that got pulled back, but there was a reasonable shout for a penalty there as well. All at a time when the Mitrovic penalty... I can't remember the defender, was it? I think it might have been Lerma, actually. But Mitrovic just completely, like pulls the wool over Lerma's eyes. Mm. It's just like Mitrovic wins that penalty rather than Lerma giving it away. No doubt about it. Almost like pulls Lerma down on him and just goes up like that in front of the ref. And the ref bought it, 100% bought it. It's a soft penalty, actually, I thought, the Mitrovic penalty. At the same time, Bournemouth probably could have maybe had a couple themselves. A bit unlucky not to come away with the 3 points here, Bournemouth. And you're right, under Gary O'Neill, they've got something that was severely lacking under the previous manager, under Scotty Parker. Something there with them, isn't there, at the moment?
They're the
really
same players playing, with the exception of a couple, basically playing the same position on the pitch that they were playing before.
Yeah.
With the same people on the pitch. But they've got a manager that's bought some belief some confidence and seems to be kind of building them rather than beating them with a heavy stick every week. That's how it feels to me.
Let's have a look
at
the fixtures.
They've got Southampton next.
The fixtures for these two clubs. Yes, it's Southampton next. So it's a... I always call that a South Coast derby, but Southampton and Bournemouth, they're both on the South Coast, is about as close as I can think. West Ham away, Spurs, Leeds and Everton, and then Fulham next. It's Villa at home for Fulham, which I think is a really nice fixture in 12, so I wouldn't go selling your Mitrovic's or your Andreas Pereira's. In fact, they're definitely both, well, obviously they're going to start for me in 12 because I've got a full bench of Man City players, but no problem with playing either of those two. Mitrovic, some comments about him not quite being fully fit, sort of playing, had a few painkillers and sort of played through the pain barrier a little bit. So don't know if he's 100%, but listen, while he's banging in the penalties and he could have had could have had one or two more, a little bit on the periphery of the game, I thought. But Aston Villa at home and then Leeds and then Everton at home, that's too good a fixture run to take him out, in my opinion. We've had a couple of super chats. One from Duncan Crawford. Thank you, Duncan, for the super chat. Solanke is an absolute legend. You're absolutely right. I mean, that is a goal and assist and not the only points he's been getting for his owners in the last few weeks.
He's
really, really good at the moment if you've got him. What a differential. And then Tom Meaney, thank you for the super chat. Blanks, injuries, suspensions, possible rotation for better teams with easier fixtures. Is the free hit a good idea? Go Gunners, he says. Yeah, we mentioned that a little bit earlier in the stream, Tom. If your team is full of Man City, full of Arsenal, maybe you've got Madison, maybe you've got Patterson, as you suggested. Yeah, why not? Why not? If you've got six or seven or maybe eight out and you can only really field, what, four, five or six?
Yeah.
Yes, free hit. I would like to be able to say save it, mate, but if you're that down to the bare bones, then yes.
I probably will be building a free hit team with Max on Monday evening. Okay. I'll share it on Instagram.
Get that on our socials.
Yeah.
A quick shout out to the Wolves social media team who absolutely trolled the Nottingham Forest Twitter team with, did you see this? The axe in the tree with the playtime over, which I thought was absolutely brilliant.
Well, that's sort of Nottingham Forest's fault for starting war before.
Yeah. Listen, they absolutely deserved it. Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll talk about Madison and Leicester when we talk about our teams in just a second. A quick shout out to Aston Villa, who I thought were a lot better against Chelsea, a lot better. And I have to say, Chelsea probably just about value for the win, just about. But the first goal is a big mistake from Tyrone Mings. The second goal is a big mistake from Martinez. You can't tell me that's not a mistake from Martinez.
Best game we've seen from Aston Villa this season, I'd argue.
It was an improvement on recent weeks, no doubt about it. Which is difficult. That's a difficult narrative to get behind because they lost 2-0 at home. Mm. But there was definite signs of improvement. How Kepa has kept them out in the first half, as I said at the beginning of the pod, I don't know. He was unreal today, Kepa. Absolutely unreal. And I, for one, was very happy to see the double Newcastle clean sheet come in against Manchester United, which really saved my game week, to be honest with you. Let's go and talk about our teams then, Sam. But before we do, a quick shout out to all of our patrons. I think most of you, or some of you, are certainly in this evening. Patreon.com/FPL family. If you want a little bit more, Lee and Sam, if you want some bonus podcasts, if you want access to our Slack chat community, if you'd be interested in our Manager of the Month competition, all that sort of stuff, patreon.com/FPL family if you want to go and support what Sam and I do here on FPL Family. We'd love you to go and do that. And at the end of the last game week, so I've still got to total up the scores for game week 11, but at the end of game week 10, it was Bryce back on top of the leaderboard for the Manager of the Month competition. Liam had a sensational game week 10, by the way, and has put himself bang in contention on 298 points. And Gavin, who's also having a very good season, 293 points. But Bryce is right up there, by the way. He is having a stormer of a season. He's in the top 2 or 3K something like that. So if you think you can take on Bryce and Liam and Gavin in our Manager of the Month competitions, then head over to patreon.com/FPL family. All the links are in the description below. And sign up over there. And we'd love to have you over on our Patreon site. Right, Sam? Let's talk about our teams. I'll go first. Here is my team. It's pretty average. Reasonably happy to get a red arrow, which is something I never thought I'd say. I never thought I'd say that, but my game week was absolutely bang average and I was on a small green arrow until that Manchester City game. And the fact that we won 1-0 with Mo scoring and my City assets, including Haaland captain, got 2-2 and 2, and that gave me a red arrow, I will take it. I've got no issue with that whatsoever. So I've got a very small red in the end of 6%. I'm down to 138k overall rank. Listen, it's fine. I mean, it wasn't a memorable game week by any stretch of the imagination. Definitely peaked on Friday evening. Definitely peaked with Ivan Toney getting his two goals. The Newcastle double was also very good. I was very pleased to get that. The Cucurella one was a little bit, I don't know, I felt a bit aggrieved about that, to be honest with you.
Bit annoying.
Coming off at half-time, yeah. But what we're making of the team, I think that's good.
It's all right.
Right week, right?
Yeah, it's all right, isn't it? I think, you know, what you've got, what, three City and one Arsenal and Madison and two free transfers?
Two free transfers.
So you're okay for next week.
Going into next week. We'll talk about bus teams in just a second. Let's talk about your team. Talk us through that.
Yeah, a bit of a disaster. I'm a little bit annoyed with myself. Not loads annoyed, but a little bit annoyed. I think
why?
I... Reece James. The bane of my life, Reece James.
You bring in Anderson this week and then bench him.
Yeah. But I think in part that was because I made the Reece James decision, Reece James to Anderson decision so late. I didn't really think about... I thought about what I wanted to do. I've been talking up Anderson all week. So I was like, right, I'm just going to go Anderson because... I've spoken about him on every pod.
Yeah.
I feel like he's a good option.
Got booked quite early, didn't he?
Bought him in. And then after that, I just was kind of like, I can't think about this anymore. And I just set it up and I just left it. Had the deadline been on Saturday, I think I'd have ended up playing Anderson over Veltman.
Right.
If I'd have really thought about it, I probably would have gone, Anderson's got more attacking threat than Veltman. I don't think either of them are going to keep a clean sheet, so let's play Anderson. As it happens, Leicester and Palace played out the worst game of football ever. And
it was really poor, wasn't it?
It was really poor.
Really poor game.
And therefore he gets the clean sheet, which was really frustrating. I'm also slightly annoyed at myself for being so scared.
Of who?
I really wanted to captain Kane. I said this a lot, didn't I, last week?
Yeah. You got to start going with these decisions.
I know.
You say this every week. I nearly did this, I nearly did that. But you get scared of EO.
I did get scared of EO. That's exactly what happened. Now, Anderson's just silly. That's just one of those things. I'm a little bit annoyed at myself, but whatever. It's not a big deal. But the Kane ones bothered me a little bit this week because I genuinely was like, I think Kane's going to be the top scorer this week. He wasn't. But I thought he'd have a good chance of doing really well against Everton. I backed him on everything I went on. And then I just couldn't bring myself to take the armband off Haaland through fear. And maybe that's a learning point for me because obviously like I'd worked really hard to get back inside the top 1 million. And then it like ended up back outside it again, which is really annoying. Mm. However, going into game week 12...
Two free transfers
No,
for 12?
Only one.
Just one.
Blimmin' Reece James. So, because right. I was rolling, wasn't I, with Reece James. And then he got injured in the Champions League. And I was like, oh, that's really annoying because it's thrown me now.
Yeah.
And then I thought I was still okay until Madison.
Yeah.
And now I'm not okay.
James Madison. Let's have a look at those bus teams then going into game week 12. So that's a challenging week, let's say. Down 31.9% to 1.1. But here are our bus teams going into game week 12. You've got one free transfer. I've got two. I'll talk through what I'm planning to do in a second, but go on. How are you set up?
Well, yeah. So like I said, I was originally supposed to have two because Reece James was going to still be in there instead of Anderson. That would have been fine. I would have just left him. Madison should have been there. And then I could have used my two free transfers to sort of bring in luxury players for this week, if you like, just to really strengthen my team for game week 12.
Okay.
Knowing then that in game week ahead of 13, I'm hitting the World Cup button anyway.
So you're going to go, presumably you've got the opportunity to take a bit of a punt with your free transfer, or even if you wanted to minus four,
I'm going
to
minus
take a
four.
Bit of a punt, right?
Yeah, I'm going to minus four because I'm going to have to.
Then you've got the wild card in 13 to play.
Yes. So yes, I'm going to minus four this week. It'll be Maddison, probably to Trossard.
Okay.
But because it's Forest, I think probably that's what I'll do. And then I'll probably take a punt on another forward. I'll probably take Jesus out because I have no value in him and can easily bring him back in next week. And look at one of the forwards. Like, and then it's a kind of conversation about which forward do you go to. Mitrovic is an option, but I am slightly worried about the injury and whether he's come back a bit quickly this weekend on painkillers. Can he play again straight away maybe. Midweek?
Yeah.
Then there's like other options that I could go with, like Solanke. I could, you know, take a little bit of punts on. My plan originally was to take a punt on Richarlison and Kane up top together for the game against Man United.
Right.
But obviously with Richarlison injured, I can't do that. Then there's the potential for going for one of the Liverpool boys. If I knew that it was going to be Firmino that was going to start against West Ham, for sure, I'd probably go with him.
Well,
but I don't think
it's more likely to get Nunez, I think.
I think so, and I don't really want to get him. He's more likely to headbutt
Danny
somebody.
Danny Welbeck, the chat's saying?
Maybe, but then do I want Trossard and Welbeck together? I don't know if I really want to go all in on Brighton, even though it is against Forest.
If you were going to go all in and then get rid of, because you're going to get rid of him anyway in 13, against Forest is the team to go all in against, isn't it? Because it's not Bournemouth anymore.
Yeah, maybe.
There's me bringing in Carl Walker-Peters on my wildcard a few weeks back saying, oh, well, he's got Bournemouth in 12, so that's fine, he'll be dandy. Well, I don't fancy him for a clean sheet at the Vitality anymore.
No, exactly. You know, there are plenty of forwards that I could kind of go to. And because it's only for that one game week, it feels like it doesn't really matter. Like, it can be punty, it can be...
It can be Danny Welbeck.
I suppose it could be Danny Welbeck.
Some of the chat saying Mason Mount, Sam, maybe get him in for a week.
Well, Mason Mount, yes, totally.
But third overall for BPS this game week?
The only thing I'd say about Mason Mount is because it's not for 1 week only, so I think if I bought in Mason Mount, I'd want to bring in Mason Mount and keep him probably.
Well, you just keep him on your wild card.
Yeah, but I also think that... what am I trying to say here? I think that that Trossard's fixture in game week 12 is nicer than Mount, and therefore probably go with Trossard for this week, knowing then that on wildcard I can have a nice, pretty much all 8 million midfield. That's kind of where I think I'm going to head on wildcard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, my team is looking in a bit dire straits, to be honest with you, because Cucurella getting hold at half time in the Villa game and not looking that great, to be honest with you. Azpilicueta and Koulibaly came on and they really shored up that Chelsea defence. Villa still attacked pretty well, but Cucurella had a tough time against Watkins and Ings today. So I'm hoping that he's going to keep his place against Brentford. But even if he does, he's up against a pretty in-form Ivan Toney, who I've also got in my team. So he's not looking too wonderful. I've got Carl Walker-Peters, who I mentioned before. Suddenly going to the Vitality is a very difficult game. So I'm not expecting him to get anything there. I've got Nico, who... Is Nico a rotation risk with Aurier, or is Aurier injured now?
Well, I think he is a bit of a rotation. I mean, I think he gets minutes regardless, because even if Aurier... My suspicion is that probably that Nico starts it, and then...
Right.
If Aurier's got some fitness that he comes on, but he was so heavily strapped, and when he went off the pitch on whatever night that was, Monday night, he didn't look, I don't know, it's Aurier, look, he's always injured.
Yeah, and it's a quick turnaround for 12, isn't it? So maybe Nico gets the nod, so maybe I'm okay with him. My Newcastle boys I'm happy with, currently bus captained on Trippier, although that will change. My Fulham boys are okay. Maddison is, yeah, I mean, I've got the same issues as you, right? I had James last week, I had Maddison this week. Two transfers in the build-up to 12 that none of us were hoping or expecting wanted to have to deal with. But here we are. It's annoying, right? Because I was all set to have 11 players out with just one free transfer because I was going to do De Bruyne out to somebody. I didn't know who. It's most likely to be Salah now. We'll talk about that in a second. But I would have done De Bruyne to a midfielder and I'd have got 11 out, including Maddison. But now I've got to either use my other free transfer... to get somebody else in for Maddison, or I mean, take some hits around the edges. I actually think I'm probably going to use one free transfer going into 12 and roll with 10 players because I really want those two free transfers in my pocket for 13. I want Foden, I want Saka, I want loads of players in game week 13. I'm envious of your wild card in 13 because I think it's going to have this beautiful array of 8 million midfielders. You're going to have Haaland and Kane up top. You're going to have a nice balanced defence. And I want at least two free transfers to get back in on the likes of Saka, Jesus, Saliba, maybe. I'm going to want Foden back in because I'm going to have only two City. I don't want to have to spend that extra transfer faffing about getting a Trossard for Madison or something. Honestly, or McAllister. I just don't want to do it. I'd rather not make the transfer.
Like, Reece James getting injured is one thing. Madison diving in the 94th minute is a totally different one. And it just kind of sums up how annoyed I am with Leicester generally. I mean, I'm going to have to play Danny Ward this week. I bet he blanks because I'm playing him. And every time I've benched him, he's been all right.
They've got back-to-back clean sheets, haven't they, Leicester? Or maybe not back-to-back. Certainly got one this weekend. So he's not terrible.
It's not great, though, is
it? Ward at home to Leeds, I think he's fine. So that's what I'm thinking. My transfer, almost certainly, I'm going to have a look at Fantasy Football Fix and keep an eye on the price rise and fall apps going into this evening. But De Bruyne to Salah is going to happen. That's going to happen. And I'm going to captain Salah in game week 12. I'm going to roll with 10 players and just accept that Madison is a knobhead and has just done us all dirty.
You
just,
can't say
you
that.
You can. I just diving in the 94th
minute. Did he just want midweek off? Has he got a date? Did he want to go on a date?
He's Jamie Tartt, isn't he? Reborn Madison. And he's dived and it's not good. The other thing with that is that if I do that and accept that Madison is just a Tartt and he's got booked, and he's not going to play in game week 12 for me, in 13, don't they have a reasonable fixture? Let's have a look. In 13, Leicester play Wolves away before the City game. So I might even keep him for the Wolves game before I sell him in 14. I don't know. Maybe. Let's see. But maybe there's some...
I can't wait to sell Zaha.
Maybe some retribution for Madison, maybe. Or maybe some payback from Madison in game week 13.
He'll get a red card in game week 13.
Probably, yeah. So that's how I'm currently planning it. Yeah, planning to roll one of my transfers over to game week 13 so that...
So you're going in with 10?
Probably, yeah. Probably. Unless I use my second free transfer and I do Madison to...
Okay, so KDB to Salah, you've got the money for this?
Yeah. Wouldn't do it otherwise.
Yeah.
It's the other thing with me is, look, I'm bus captained on Trippier. I don't have a Harry Kane that I can go in on. I think he's a reasonable captaincy, Harry Kane, away at Manchester United. He's the sort of person you could put the armband on and trust that he's going
to
do all right.
I'm looking forward to it.
Trippier? Not sure about that as a captaincy. Of all your players, is Trippier
the best one?
Well, I don't know. Mitrovic with his, you know, painkillers. Tony against that Chelsea defence.
Probably is the best
Do you trust Zaha with the armband?
Absolutely not.
So it probably is Trippier, isn't it? Let's face it. So I do need, genuinely, I need a captaincy option. So it's probably going to be Mo. I don't want to mess about with my front line.
I literally love that we're going to be going into this game week with you on your team for a captaincy, me on my team for a captaincy.
Different, yeah. It's gonna all change.
I'm loving it. Honestly, I know I understand that game week 12 is an absolute liability with no City and with no Arsenal, with Reece James injured, with Madison suspended, with like it's a liability, right? There's carnage to ensue in this midweek. It's also a midweek fixture, primed for rotation. We always get it. It's good. There's going to be drama in game week 12, is my prediction.
Yeah.
But I also, I'm so here for it. This is what FPL is all about, isn't it?
I have to say, with you saving your wildcard till 13, and you're going to roll up to 13 with 3 City, 3 Arsenal, Kane, Trippier, I don't know, a decent looking defence, no Zaha, no Guff like Madison and Aronson, and play. I'm jealous of that. Game week 13 wildcard is going to be, that's going to look sexy, that. It's going to look good. 3 City, 3 Arsenal.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be all right, isn't it? It's going to be all right. There we go, guys.
There we go.
That is our plan, at least for now, with what we are going to do with game week 12. But anything can change, guys. Anything can change going into game week 12. Talk the folks through what we are going to be doing this week. There's plenty coming up, right? Is there an off-the-bench podcast this week? Just a standard...
Two FPL pods.
Two official FPL pods. Very good. We'll be
recording the first one tomorrow morning.
Very good.
I enjoyed
last week's one, not least because Mr. Jules...
He was on good form last week.
He was on good form, but his wildcard absolutely crashed and burned last week, didn't
it? He's done well this week, though. Captain Harry Kane.
Did he? Very good. Okay, very good.
I think I've had a stinker in comparison to the other two, so that'll be a make for an interesting...
I'm sure that won't get mentioned, by the way, that he's Captain Kane and you didn't. I'm sure that will go under the carpet.
Do you know why Captain Kane?
Because you told him to.
No, because he had a dream.
Classic.
He sent us a message to say, I've had a dream. Yeah. Anyway, so there's an official pod on Monday morning and then another FPL pod on Thursday morning. So we'll be looking at game week 12, then we'll be back on Thursday before game week 12 is even finished to look at game week 13. So
good.
Two of those this week. We'll obviously have our normal Ohana pod out on Friday. I'm not sure if there's a Q&A this week on Scout or not. There might not be.
Okay.
I'll let you know. And then we're back on Sky.
So yeah, Sky Sports News are having us back in the studio next Saturday, folks. So look out for
that. While I'm on my wild card.
10:30 a.m. UK time.
Till the deadline. So I better sort my wild card out before we go live.
Your wild card is going to be active while we're on TV up until the deadline. That's going
to
be stressful.
I will have to be organised and have that sorted in advance.
Very good.
So yes, and Lee will probably be doing some random TikToks.
There will be loads of TikToks, no doubt.
And obviously there'll be Insta reactions and stuff during the midweek games, which are all being televised.
Yeah, we've got Amazon Prime, haven't we, in the UK? Mm. All being shown.
I'm going off so you can watch Liverpool on the TV without having to watch it on the computer, which is normally what I relegate to when they're on at the same time.
That's normally what happens. Folks, thank you very much for joining us here on FPL Family this evening. If you're new to the channel, make sure you hit that subscribe button before you go. And if you enjoyed the show tonight, leave us a like before you go. Well done in game week 11. Take a breath tomorrow because we're going to do it all over again in game week 12. Come on, Salah captain. Good night, guys.
Okay.
See you soon.
Green arrows, guys.